God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you. Comes from God our Father through our Advent Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. God's word for our hearing comes from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. We'll read those verses in a moment responsively. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, do you light up the room when you walk into family Christmas? Along with the lights on the tree that are aglow and the candles that are burning in the room? Do you light up the room, or does your heart say, "Bah, humbug, here we go again. Shallow relatives, spoiled children, and no one has any time for me. Bah, humbug." Where is your focus as we approach the holidays? It can be a challenging time. Sometimes too easy to make it all about me. As kids, gifts maybe dazzled our eyes and we wanted them all. As adolescents, there was the awkwardness of family with the same old jokes and the same old ugly Christmas sweaters, and maybe we just wanted to run. And now maybe you are the hosting adult, and oh, the work of it all. Nobody helps, but everybody eats, and nobody cares how hard I work. Bah, humbug. It can be easy to make all the holidays about me. Oh, and bah, humbug, Pastor, it's not happy holidays, it's Merry Christmas. Can't we at least keep Christ in Christmas? Bah, humbug, happy holidays, my eye. Well, let's start there. Happy holidays. A holiday is a holy day. A day set aside for the Lord and for his purposes and his praises. And so happy holidays can be a teaching tool to remind us that the day is really not about me, that it's really all about God and his purposes, God and his heart. So to personally understand holiday, holy day, is to better appreciate Merry Christmas, and will help us arrive at the family Christmas with a message from our heart that really matters. To help us in our thinking and planning, our reading for today takes us to the other end of Jesus' life. We travel to Palm Sunday, Jesus' arrival into his city, his festival. And let us learn from our King what it means to have a message in our heart that really matters. The words on the screen for us. Please read the portions in yellow. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The words of our God. Oh, there was talk of a king on that Palm Sunday. Expectations were high. The miracle worker was about to take his position of power, his place of promise as the son of David. The streets were abuzz. "Look out, Caesar, Jerusalem will rise again. There must be a parade for such a great day." And if you were a Jew living back then, you would have known what had happened when Solomon King of David was made king back in the days of glory, as recorded in the book of the Kings. It was glorious. We read in the book of the Kings that Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the king's bodyguard, went down and had Solomon mount King David's mule, and they escorted him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. Then they sounded the trumpet, and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him, playing pipes and rejoicing greatly, so that the ground shook with the sound. And Solomon took his seat on the royal throne. Oh, we shall have our king. Merry Christmas, Merry Messiah Day to me. A Messiah from Nazareth, the throne of David, Rome no more, and Israel once more known as the people of God. But the king would have none of it. Oh, for the first time in 33 years, Jesus accepted the title of king. As an infant, he had accepted that title as the angel Gabriel spoke to his mother Mary and said to her about her son, that he would be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God would give him the throne of his father David. But for 30 years, he was only a carpenter, only the son of a carpenter, hailing from the city or the village of Nazareth in Galilee and not Bethlehem, the city of David. But on Palm Sunday, he accepted the title of king, but on his own terms, with the purpose of his Father in heaven, that he might truly be a blessing. And so he came with humility. Not a great white stallion. Not even a full-sized donkey, but a colt, the foal of a donkey. No royal robe, no royal crown. Those would come in a few short days, dripping with his blood. Even humor. No armed guard ahead of this king. No rear guard armed with shield and sword, but fishermen. Imagine fishermen trying to look important and proud around their king, and maybe even whispering, "Why didn't he at least have us collar a horse instead of a colt of a donkey?" And then there was the hatred. For it was a classic political scene. You didn't see the hatred on the surface, but the leaders of the Jews were indignant that the people would cry out, "Hosanna," or "Lord, save," and that this Jesus would accept it. And then Jesus set the stage for the hatred that would quickly become public opinion when he did the unexpected. He came into the city of Jerusalem, and he did not settle himself into a semblance of David's throne and call for the bodyguard of the king. No, instead he went to the temple, the earthly throne room of his Father in heaven. And he scattered the money changers, and he chased out all the animals that were for sale, that were commercializing his holiday, his father's house. And then he quietly left the city without gathering one soldier, and he went and spent the night in the village of Bethany. You see, a king on his own terms, a king from heaven, with heavenly purpose, with a message that truly mattered. The Christ child silences the ghost of Christmas past, our theme for our season. Unfulfilled expectations, our thought for today. In the Holy Week of Palm Sunday, a week dedicated to God and to his purposes, the Jews were destined for disappointment and for unfulfilled expectations that soured them on their king, because they had made his coming all about themselves. Now, is it possible that ever in a bah humbug moment that you and I do the same thing? Making Christmas all about my expectations rather than about the purposes of God? Now, that is not to minimize the hurts of this life and the broken dreams of our hearts that can lead to unfulfilled expectations that rob us of Christmas joy. Some of us in this room today never planned on singleness around the Christmas tree. Some of us never planned on that loved one lost since the last time we read Luke 2 together around the tree. Some of us never planned on infertility that would prevent us from having our own little ones in footy pajamas sitting around the tree in awe of the Christmas lights. And as our ministry team discussed this text, one of our sisters made the comment that there's a saying that a mother is only as happy as the saddest of her children. Are you a mom whose heart hurts around the tree as you think of a child or two and of broken dreams? And those unfulfilled expectations have nothing to do with our sin or with unbelief, the rejection of the Jews rejecting Jesus. They are just the struggles of a sin-cursed world that wants to rob us of the joy of Christmas and make the holy day, the holiday, all about me. Maybe our prayer needs to be, "Dear Lord Jesus, help me to enter this Christmas, remembering the purposes of our Father in heaven. Keep me humble. Keep me watching and listening, and chase away the ghosts of Christmas past and Christmas present." When Jesus got on that colt, the foal of a donkey, as comical as that may seem to us, he accepted the role of a king. And his Father made a statement for all Israel to hear, "My prophet shall be heard." The prophet Zechariah had set the scene hundreds of years before when he said, "Daughter Zion, Jerusalem, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Behold my prophet, behold my king," said the God of heaven to Jerusalem. Listen to him. And Jesus will always be a king from his Father's heart to ours. A kingdom intended to make a heavenly stir, because he always comes not as the king we want, but as the king the world needs. His rule is not land, but hearts. His power is not physical, but spiritual. His focus is not politics, it is sin. His focus is not election day, but judgment day. And his first priority is not allegiance, but forgiveness. A different kind of king, who for the first time on Palm Sunday desired the attention of all the people. And so his Father from heaven also made the statement, "My prophet shall be the talk of the town." We read, the crowds that went ahead and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" "Hosanna, Lord, save us." Ignorant praise, as the message of God's promise was missed by most that day. As a Savior, he came to, as a Savior from sin, he came to be. And when he did not meet their expectations, Hosanna turned to "Bah humbug, crucify. We have no king but Caesar." But on that day, the city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds replied, "He is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, Jesus." You see, even the geography had them fooled that day. And if they had simply asked, "Where is he from? Whose son is he?" the answer would have been given, "David's son. Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." You see, the roots of our king go back a long way to the garden where sin came to life, where death began its reign, but where the promise of a Savior was born. As God sternly spoke to Satan and promised to you and me, "I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." It would be a spiritual battle, a spiritual king, but the end of the rule of sin and death. And you think maybe in the streets of Jerusalem that Palm Sunday there was a shepherd from Bethlehem who could have recalled the angel words? "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." God's humble prophet. God's humble king. Yes, and the one who still confuses our world. Our king came with a message that mattered. And even after he ascended into heaven, his message still stirred that city and eventually spilled over into the world and has tumbled down to you and to me. You and I are messengers of that king. How do we plan to create a heavenly stir this Christmas season? To be all about Santa and peace on earth and charitable giving will allow us to blend in with the rest of our culture that so often can sing ignorantly at a community concert, "Glory to the newborn king, and he shall reign forever and ever." Will we go with them over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go, or will we also go to the city streets of Bethlehem and sing, "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." To go to Bethlehem with family or friends, now that will create a stir. That will be a message that matters, and you and I will be lights for Jesus in our corner of his world. Dear friends, you can light up a room and even family Christmas this year. Be the smile that brightens hearts. Be the hug that softens the sorrow. Be the presence that says, "You matter. I have time for you." Ask Jesus to silence the Christmas ghosts of your past, to make the season truly about him, the forgiveness of sins, God walking with us, his light in our personal darkness. But before you go to family Christmas, journey first to Bethlehem. And as you are there, manger side, remember Palm Sunday and the Palm Sunday King who rules because of Good Friday and through Easter Sunday. And God will prepare you to arrive with a message that matters. For you see, with Jesus as your king, his season really is all about you. Amen.